Hey guys, Sin here, and today I'm going to be talking to you guys about how to not run out of things to say. A little while back, some of you guys who read my blog at sinsofattraction.blogspot.com may have remembered I put up a survey. I also sent it out to the guys who are on my email list, and if you aren't, you should definitely join that at sinsofattraction.com. And I asked you guys what your biggest sticking points were. And that was a big helper to me as I was designing this coaching program that we're coming up with that we're going to be launching in the next month. One of the things that came up over and over again was running out of things to say. I don't know what to say when I'm talking to a woman. I go tongue-tied, my mind goes blank, and I'm usually witty and charming, but when I get in front of a girl, I don't know what to do. So I wanted to take today to address those issues. Running out of things to say is one of the worst things that can happen to you when you're out and you're talking to a girl. The reason being is that girls hate social awkwardness the way I hate Peyton Manning. And for longtime readers of my blog and stuff, you guys know that's a lot. So you have to remember that on a cold approach, when you approach the woman that has no ties to you socially, no connection to you, she doesn't have to be nice to you. She doesn't have to keep talking to you. In fact, we have to motivate her to keep talking to us by being really interesting, fun, and cool. So the burden of keeping the conversation interesting, fun, and exciting is on us, not on her. A lot of guys, their biggest sticking point is that they have awkward silences because they're not prepared for a conversation. Now, I don't want to get into a debate about routines versus non-routines here because I think both styles can work, but the overarching idea is that you need to have things to do or say when the conversation starts to stall or starts to get boring. And that's something that's going to happen every single conversation you ever have for the rest of your life. One of the things that guys do not really appreciate is that no pickup artist, no matter how good, has every single thing that they say to girls get a great reaction. That was something I learned when I used to break down mystery audios when I was still an approach coach at Mystery Method. I realized that maybe one out of five things hits. So it's key to have a lot of different things to do, a lot of different things to say to ensure that you have a good enough chance to have something land and something be interesting to that particular woman. So the first thing with running out of things to say is to just have a brief outline of a few things that you want to talk about. That's just stuff like your job, your social life, things that interest you, your hobbies, some plans that you're having this week, right? Things about yourself that you think women would like to know, things that you're interested in talking about, things that you're looking for in girls, your beliefs, opinions, thoughts, and ideas on things. The more developed you are as a person, the better that's going to go. Also, you can get a routine stack or something like that. You can pull routines off the internet. The key is first preparation. That's the biggest thing on how to not run out of things to say, is have a few things prepared for those stall points. See, the real point of routines is that they act as a conversational stall tactic. Right? If you were to map out all of the conversational threads that could go from meeting a woman to beginning a successful relationship with her, there's probably between 13 and 1500 possible threads. I think me and Toe Cutter have debated this a couple times. And the idea is we want to have stuff for when we get bad conversational threads. For example, let's say you're talking to a girl and she says, "Oh yeah, my boyfriend is a Libra too." Let's say, you know, I was talking about being a Libra, and she goes, "Yeah, my boyfriend is a Libra too." Well, there's absolutely no good that can come from that conversational thread. So if we look at the five rules of pickup, the number one rule is ignore anything that can't help you, right? So we want to ignore that, but we need to have somewhere else to go. So if we have a routine, we can go, "Oh my God, check this out. The funniest thing happened to me today." And we can instantly, smoothly transition into something else. Right? So that's one of the purposes of routines. Now, you don't need routines in order to be successful and keep conversations going. In fact, a lot of guys out there, one of the big problems with routines is that when you learn a routine, you learn it in an ideal circumstance. Sitting at home comfortably in your chair, or at your desk, at your computer, whatever. You don't learn it while you're having approach anxiety, while you have got adrenaline flowing through your veins, while the music in the club is like, poop, 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 poop. Right? So you've learned it in a non-ideal circumstance for using that information. So a lot of the time, guys who have read tons and tons of material, I mean, I have a million students who have read, you know, routine after routine after routine, and then they get out into the field and they start talking to girls, and they can't remember anything. Their minds just blank up. So today, I want to talk to you guys about some stuff that you can do when your mind just completely blanks, freezes completely, and you can't remember anything to say, and you're just sitting there like, I like pie. So the first thing is what's known as an association exercise. Association exercises actually come from improv class, and I've kind of tweaked this one a little bit differently to make it more useful for pickup. So an association exercise is you're supposed to look around your environment and pick one thing and talk about that for 30 seconds. So for example, right now I'm sitting here and I see shoes, I see a skateboard, I see, you know, my TV, I see a lot of pairs of shoes, I see the book Mastery by George Leonard. So I can pick any of those things, talk for 30 seconds. Now, the problem I had with that as an association exercise in terms of pickup was that most of the time when you're doing a pickup, you're in a very similar environment, right? You're at a bar, you're at a club, you're on the street, you're at a mall, you're at the grocery store. There's just not, outside of the grocery store, there's just not that many interesting things around in the environment. So you start looking around and it's like, ah, shit, light bulb, light fixture, and you don't have the best idea. So what I did back in the day was to learn, I made an A through Z list, right? I just came up with interesting words A through Z. I think my A word was like apple and my Z word was like zebra or something like that. And so what I would do is I would pick any letter of the alphabet while I was talking to a girl when I knew I was about to run out of things to say. And the first word that popped into my mind, I would start the next sentence with. So for example, let's say that I'm talking to a girl and I'm about to run out of things to say and I go D, dog. Dog, my dog. You know, it's really, I miss my dog because my mom, you know, took him over to Turkey a couple years ago and I haven't been able to see him, but he actually moved back. Are you guys like cat people or dog people? Right now, I've built a little bit of an extra 10 seconds of conversation that keeps it going. Plus, by asking a question, I can extend that conversation and start to build compliance from them as well. So that's an association exercise. You can also feel free to just look around the club and talk about whatever you see. You can also, if you really want to be hardcore and strict about it, you can come up with an A through Z list of routines, right? Either online or stories from your real life, and associate each one of those letters to a different routine. I did that for a while too, and it was really routine based. The next one I want to talk about is asking a question and then talking about a related issue while trying to demonstrate high value. This was something that I actually did as an exercise for a while. What happened is I would go out, I would approach women or groups with guys and girls in them, and I would run an opener. Then all I was allowed to do was ask questions and try to create on-the-fly demonstrations of higher value. So, for example, I'd go out and I'd be like, hey guys, blah, 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 opinion opener. So, how do you guys all know each other? Oh, you guys all work together. That's cool. I actually, when I used to work in this office, I met my ex-fiance, and you know, then she ended up being a stripper, which was very strange for me. And then this one thing happened, right? You see how from there I get from, how do you guys all know each other? Boring answer of work to a DHV story that demonstrates that I'm pre-selected by women, right? So you can do that with all of the kind of old school demonstrations of higher value, pre-selected by women, leader of men, protector of loved ones, willing to walk away, having a strong identity, being a person of high social status, being able to take them on an emotional journey. All of those things are things that you can do off of asking questions, and they don't even have to be particularly interesting questions. Other questions I used to ask to do stuff like that was, or where are you from? What do you guys do? What brought you guys out tonight? You know, and any of those can be turned into an on-the-fly DHV, which is something that is A, going to develop your spontaneous storytelling ability, and it allows you to always be situationally relevant, which is another really, really important thing. The next thing I want to talk about is role-playing and being absurd, saying weird, funny things, right? This is a specialty of mine, right? Because I'm a pretty quirky person. And so a lot of the time, I'll just keep conversations going by adding something weird or absurd or adding a role-play onto something that someone just said. So back to that last example, let's say I go, what do you guys do? And they go, oh, we're nurses. And I go, oh my God. You know, what really bothers me is that when I was in high school, I used to see all these porn movies with, like, super hot nurses, and they were all naughty, and then, you know, I got hurt and went to the hospital, and those nurses don't actually exist. Now, you guys could totally be naughty nurses. You know what I'm gonna do with you guys is we're gonna have to get you, like, one of those nurse outfits with a lot of rips in it. I was never really sure how the nurse outfits got that ripped, but it's one of those things that you just don't question. So we're gonna have to get you ripped nurse outfits. Then the super high hat. I don't think girls actually wear those hats in hospitals, but this is my kind of controlled situation, so we're gonna go with that too. Right? And now I've just made an absurd situation and I've created a plot line. Now, if I want to keep that going, I can use it as callback humor for the rest of the night. I can call them naughty nurses. I can design situations where we're going to go mess with people in the club. I can create a whole plot line of how she's my nurse and she has to bring me alcohol to make me feel better. I can do a whole lot of things simply from absurdifying the situation, which I think is a word I stole from Brad P, and creating a role play. And that's something you can do 100% of the time. You know what I'm going to do with you guys is a great way to keep a conversation going. I'm going to dress you guys up as like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I'm going to be, you know, Leonardo because he was the leader. But you're going to be this, that, or the other. Anything that absurdifies, creates a role play is a great thing to do because it's outside of the normal realm of communication that most guys limit themselves to, right? It's out of the here and now. The here and now is generally what we want to stay away from as much as possible because it's not a great opportunity to pump emotions. It's not a great opportunity to kind of set ourselves out from the rest of the crowd. The next thing I want to talk about is pacing the situation. Pacing the situation is a great way of keeping a conversation going, right? And pacing a situation is simply explaining what's going on in terms that people can agree with. You know, so for example, you run out of things to say, you can actually go, oh my God, I totally just ran out of things to say. All right, it's you guys' turn to be interesting, right? Or, oh my God, I totally just lost my thought. Don't you hate when that happens? It's like I'm meeting new people, you know, you guys are already really awesome. We're having this great conversation, and then I just totally lost my train of thought. All right, your turn to be interesting. In addition to pacing the situation, you also can then turn it around. For example, if an interaction's not going very well, right, you can pace the situation to recover it. So for example, if I go in and I'm talking to the girls and they're just really not reacting, I can be like, okay, you know what, I'm a stand-up comedian, I can do this all day. So here's what I think about socks. And I can pace the situation that way. Or if I tell a joke and it doesn't hit, or I try to tease a girl and it doesn't hit, I can just be like, wow, that sounded so much better in my head. Let's just forget that ever happened. Rewind. So, and then go forward. But by pacing the situation and acknowledging the kind of awkwardness of the moment, you deflate a lot of that tension and you gain some rapport because you're both on the same page. You both understand that the interaction is kind of awkward right now and you're both doing your best to make it work. Another thing is making observations. Making observations is huge. So you can make observations about the place, about the person, about something you saw on TV, about some sort of social thing going on. Observations are huge because what they do is they allow you to kind of demonstrate your personality. The things that you observe in a given environment kind of give clues as to what type of person you are. If you observe funny things, right, you know, then you're building some humor and some value. If you observe things that are kind of depressing, you're losing yourself. If you're observing things that are really fun, you're going to do a lot better. So generally what I like to do is I'll make observations about other people. I'll be like, oh my God. And I always pace it the same way. I always say something like, you know, I'm such a people watcher. 99% of girls are people watchers. They love watching people. So they'll be like, me too. And then I'll be like, but I always make really mean comments in my head. Like that guy over there in the American flag shirt, I just wonder if he really thinks that he's doing good for the country. Because honestly, like if I was an immigrant and I saw that guy, I'd probably want to go back to my last country, right? Or, you know, I really think that that girl should have looked in the mirror before she went outside. Or, you know, I'm all for public displays of affection, but seriously, sometimes you just want to tell people to get a room or, you know, hand them the keys to your car or a condom from your pocket. All of those are just specific situations that you would see in a club. You can observe anything, though. You can observe someone dancing great. I was just out the other night, and the average age of people on the dance floor was probably about 65. So whenever I ran out of that, I'd be like, do you guys see the dance floor? The average age out there was like 65. I don't know if they're like oiling up the hips beforehand or what, but they were definitely rocking out. Observations are great. Don't be afraid to make observations, and don't be worried if they don't hit. Not all of the things that you say observationally are going to hit or be interesting. Just keep talking. The next one I want to talk about is turning questions into statements. Questions are usually the mark of death if you don't follow them up immediately with a story. So, for example, a good example of using a question would be something like, are you guys cat people or dog people? And then you can be like, my friend Sarah just got these three gay cats. And that's the start of the gay cat story, which you guys can find online. It's a great little attraction piece by a guy named Wilder who used to work for Pickup 101. But that's a good example of a story. You're asking a question, You're asking a question to set up a story. A bad example of a question would be a question that has no follow-up whatsoever. Like, you guys go out a lot? Or, where'd you guys go before you guys came here? Or, what are you drinking? If you don't have a follow-up and you don't have somewhere to take the question, then you're withdrawing money from a bank. And the problem is, with this particular bank account, you don't know how much money is in there to begin with. So you very might overdraft, and an overdraft in a social interaction is simply where you've extended the compliance that you have completely. So all of the value that you had that you were using to buy compliance is gone, and now they don't want to answer your questions, they're bored, and they want to leave. So be really, really careful about asking questions. But what you can do, and I think this is a tip I got from Juggler in his book a couple years ago, is you can take any question and turn it into a statement. So for example, if I want to ask the question, where are you guys from? I can say, where are you guys from? And they'll be like, oh, we're from Kentucky. Or I can say, you know what? You guys look like Canadians. Or you guys look like West Coast girls. Or you guys don't look Southern. Or you guys look like you're from New York. And what that does is it allows me to get the information. The whole point of asking the question is to get information, right? We're trying to figure out where they're from so that we can find commonalities, which is the oldest form of game in the book. It's just not a very effective style, right? I swear to God, if I have a dollar for every person who asks me if I know someone in L.A. when I tell them I'm from L.A., and it's a city of like 13 million people, but like, yeah, me and that guy, we're cool. We hang out all the time. But the idea is you're looking for commonalities. So you're going to get that information anyway, because if you say you look like West Coast girls and they go, no, we're actually from Kentucky, you got the information. And they'll now be curious as to why you thought they looked like West Coast girls. So turning questions into statements is a huge way to keep conversations going. The last thing I want to talk about before we end this audio is using phrasal transitions. Using phrasal transitions is a great way to buy yourself time to get into something else you have to say. Whatever someone has just said, you can use the phrase, that reminds me, or it's just like when. So for example, if you're talking to a girl and she's talking to you about how they got to the club and how they're always going out partying, you can be like, that reminds me. My last birthday party was crazy. We ended up in Vegas and I ended up getting punched in the face and winning and then losing back $6,500 at blackjack. It was insane. Blah, 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 blah. This is what happened, right? Or that's just like when. Yeah, that's really interesting how you guys went out before you came here. That's just like when, you know, on Sundays, me and my friends go down and we drink beer and watch football all day, and then we end up stumbling to some other bar and just causing a ton of trouble. It's always the best nights, though. The only problem is, once I start drinking, I can't really stop. But again, you can use those conversational phrases to move the conversation to where you want it to go. So it's really important that you just develop a basic conversational framework. So you kind of know what your shtick is. That's something that I talk a lot about, is knowing what type of guy you are and what conversational subjects you're going to stick to. For myself, because I'm a writer and I do stand-up comedy, I want to stick to performing, media, self-expression, art, right, sarcasm, dark humor, sexuality, and kind of my travels and family. Those are the general conversational topics that I stick to. My wing captain Jack, he's got a lot of stuff on ambition. My other wing El Topo, he's got a lot of stuff on how the social barriers of things define us, you know, in psychology and photography. But you have to figure out what your advantages and disadvantages are so you know what conversational stuff to stick to. And you can design a basic conversational framework. Then you can use all of these exercises and tactics and techniques to steer within that conversational framework. A lot of guys got really into the whole idea of routine stacks, and I do think routine stacks are great, but really a routine stack is simply mimicking a conversational framework. So you can do a lot less work and a lot less memorization if you just figure out who you are, who you're conveying yourself to be, and you design a conversational framework to navigate among the subjects that are relevant to who you are and who the girl is. We'll talk more about that in some of the other stuff I'll be coming up with you guys later. So let's recap briefly before I end this. So we learned the association exercise, which is A through Z. You pick a word that starts with a letter, start talking about that. Ask questions and then create on-the-fly DHVs. Where are you guys from? Oh, that's great. My ex-girlfriend went there. Oh, I was out in Denver once. We cut into some crazy shit. Me and my friends, you know, they really had my back. Oh, you know, my little sister went out to Denver one time, and she got into a lot of trouble. I actually had to come out there to save her. All right, absurdify role play. You know what I'm going to do with you guys? Or adding absurd things onto the back of their phrases, right? Pacing the situation. It's okay to pace the situation to let them know you ran out of stuff to say. Make an observation about a place, person, thing, even a TV show, even a piece of media, like anything that most people are going to be able to relate to, like the movie Knocked Up or Swingers or, you know, Iron Man, any of those things, people that are going to generally be able to relate to, you can make an observation about. Turn questions into statements. Instead of where are you guys from, what do you guys do, what's on the agenda for later, you guys look like East Coast girls. You totally remind me of a lawyer. You guys are going to be lame and go home later. You guys aren't like hardcore partiers. And lastly, using phrasal transitions, the phrase that's just like when, that reminds me of. So if you can use those seven techniques, you'll be able to effectively keep the conversation going and navigate the conversational framework to the best of your abilities. Stay tuned to Sins of Attraction because we're going to have a lot more great free content like this to deal with the upcoming release of our coaching program. If you guys have any questions, email me at sin@sinsofattraction.com, and I'll be talking to you guys very soon. Take it easy.